Well, welcome to Lake Country Bible Church this morning. If you're visiting with us, we would like to welcome you and thank you for joining us in our worship of God. And we just ask you to look in the hymnal slot in front of you. There should be a little plastic bag, has a slip of paper and a pen in it. We'd sure love you to fill that out and just drop it in the wicker basket by the glass doors on your way out. Give us some information about you and how to reach you. And again, we'd like to thank you for joining us here today.
Good morning. Announcements this morning are the prayer meeting that we have every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in the rooms back here. Several of us pray for the church and for you all and for this nation. You're welcome to come 9 o'clock in the morning. Women's Bible study is Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler's leading the Bible study. Book of Joshua, all women. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome. I'm going to take down the decorations, Christmas decorations, Saturday morning at 9:30 in the morning. Lake Country Bible Church, our annual meeting is next Sunday, January 15th, next Sunday. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a new day that you have given us. We thank you for your creation and all of the things that you have done to bless us and to guide us and to lead us in the past. Father, we pray that you be with us and guide us. We pray for your guidance for the leadership committee this afternoon. We pray for your lead in everything this church does. We pray, Father, that people who attend this church understand that we teach and preach your word. We pray, Father, that we stand up for your word and pray for the people that are your people according to your commandments. We pray, Father, that we take actions in this church, in our leadership committee, in accordance with the leading of the Holy Spirit in your word. We pray these things that when people come to this church, they know that they have heard your word. We pray, Father, for all things be done in accordance with your will. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Bible reading today is Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and the hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
We don't
have no memory. I have no memory, but I have a lot of bosses. Thank you, Terry. Y'all put on your prayer list. It's good to see every one of you that are here this morning. Sometimes Satan just gets you down. My goodness, I see some good-looking women that I know very personally. Right out there. God's blessed me with some good-looking women in my life. They got their looks from their mother. And anybody gets says amen, you'll be escorted out. As Brenda was playing her introduction to our service this morning, she did a run on the piano. I don't know how in the world she did it, because she was playing so fast and perfectly, and just sent chills up and down my back. Brad, same with your singing this morning, buddy. I appreciate you. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Before we go to prayer, my mind is drawn to some areas because Terry caused me to get off track. I'm supposed to look solemn, I guess. Went to church years ago. And I was a little kid, probably 12, somewhere through there. And our church would sing "Just a Closer Walk with Thee" fairly often, favorite hymn of our church. And there was a gentleman there that was just pure country from beginning to end. And I never will forget, he usually sat in behind our family. And he had a pretty loud voice. And he always sang, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Not closer, but closer. And I remember that with fond memories. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you so much for loving us like you do. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, Father, for Brenda and for Brad, and Father, for Ray and so many people that labor here, nobody ever sees or appreciates all that they do. But, Father, there's many hours that's put in to make our time together possible. So, Father, we ask that you'd bless these ones extra special good as they faithfully serve. And, Father, for those who come who are an encouragement, those who have a smile on their face, those who are just precious in our lives, we ask that you'd bless them also. Thank you, Father, for Christ, his love for us, his death payment on the cross, for his resurrection, and now his intercession. Father, we do pray for that, even at this time, his interceding as we go through this lesson that we're looking at this morning. So, Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, we're looking at the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, I want everyone, you hear me? Everyone, pay attention, okay? Pay attention, please. Morning is very important. If you fail to trust Christ as your personal Savior, you will go through what we're looking at this morning, the Great White Throne Judgment. But no matter who you are, young or old, no matter who you are, young or old, if you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you will escape this Great White Throne Judgment, the horror of it. You know, Christ came and he made a payment because of his love for us. Why he should love us like he does, I'll never understand. My wife doesn't even like me sometimes. I don't blame her. I wouldn't like me either. She loves me. You see, God loves me all the time. Even when I am hard to bear, even if I'm hard to get along with, God loves me with a perfect love. Before I trusted Christ as my Savior, God loved me with a perfect love. you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that heaven's your home, I want you to pay close attention to this. I want to use a little illustration with you. Let this hand represent you and I. God's Word tells us that we're all sinners. Letting this represent, but while it represents sin, God says we're all sinners. But God loves us, even though we are sinners. God loves us with that love that only He can love with. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, letting this hand represent Christ Himself, who was sinless, who was perfect, who was righteous, who came obedient to His Father, willing to come because of His love for us. He came, took our sin upon Himself, and He paid for it. And He gives us His righteousness to go to heaven on. God came in the form of Christ, and He came and made that death payment by dying on the cross. He gives us His righteousness, the righteousness that we need to get to heaven. You see, heaven is not a good place. It's a perfect place. In order to get into that perfect place and dwell with God who is perfectly righteous and with all of those who have trusted Him and have His righteousness and who are waiting for us, if we know Christ as our Savior, He came, left that place, came, gives us that righteousness to go to heaven on. Young or old, I don't care who you are, young or old, you can have that eternal life this morning. And you can do it not by changing your life, not by walking an aisle, not by doing good works, not by putting money into the offering box, not by turning over a new leaf, but you can have that free gift of eternal life that is yours forever and ever and ever in a perfect heaven by simply believing that Christ died for you and trusting His death to get you to heaven. You can have that eternal life. This morning, I'm going to ask you, before we ever start our lesson, would you trust Christ as your personal Savior this morning? Would you trust His death as full and complete payment for your sin? If you will, you'll walk out of here this morning knowing that heaven's your home and also knowing that you'll not have to go through this awful judgment. So if you're here this morning, young or old, would you trust Christ? I won't call you forward, won't call you by name, won't ask you to walk the church aisle, won't ask you to sign any papers. It's between you and the Lord. I won't approach you after the service. Would you trust Him? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes because God knows what you're doing. I don't. I would consider it a privilege to pray for you in the days and the weeks ahead. When you trust Christ as your Savior, Satan will cause you to doubt your salvation, doubt the free gift that God has given to you, and cause your joy and peace to be ruined. And that's when you need the prayers of somebody who's concerned for you. So the only way I know who you are is I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody's looking around. If you're doing that this morning, would you just slip your hand up and let me know that you're trusting Christ the best way you know how? You don't have all the answers. You've got a lot of questions. But the best way you know how, you're trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Would you just slip up your hand till I see it? Put it down again. Anybody? Never done it before? You're doing it this morning? Young or old? Makes no difference. Anybody? Fine. Father, we come to you this morning. Father, we just feel like there's some here, Father, who do not know you as their personal Savior. We ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would not give them any peace or rest until they have made that decision to trust you and what you've done for them to get them to heaven. And Father, for those who have trusted you as their personal Savior, Father, we just ask that you would give the peace and comfort, Father, to them in knowing all of their sins have been paid for. Bless them extra special good, we pray. Father, we come this morning and we are thankful for those that have been ill, that you have touched and healed, strengthened, and enabled them to be with us this morning. And so, Father, thank you so much. Father, we ask that you would guide our thoughts this morning as we look into this, a judgment that awaits all of those who do not know you as their Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. we're looking at this morning, the judgment, or the great white throne judgment. Lesson number 15 in our series. We still have some lessons to go. Very important that we understand this, especially if you do not know Christ as your Savior. I would like to ask everybody's attention this morning. We find here on our graph that we have, the great white throne judgment will come at the close of the millennial reign of Christ. Those who have trusted Christ during this age of grace, they have been in heaven at least for 1,000 years. They've been in heaven already. Their bodies were raised at the rapture, the beginning, if you would, of the millennial reign of Christ, the close of the tribulation. There is a rapture. There's a catching away, if you would, of those who know Christ as their Savior. Their bodies are raised from the grave, changed into a glorified body, reunited with their souls and spirits that are already in heaven. The Old Testament saints will await the end of the millennial reign of Christ before their bodies are raised, even though their souls and spirits are already in heaven. God is dealing with them, God is dealing with them in a special situation other than the nations of the world, or if you would, the Gentiles of the world. We find the great white throne judgment comes towards the end, as I said earlier, of or at the end of the millennial period of Christ. After the great white throne judgment, there will be resurrection for the great white throne judgment of unsaved whose bodies are still in the grave, and those bodies of the unsaved or the spirits of the unsaved have been in this place called Sheol for all of this time up to the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Looking at this, the lake of fire is going to be that eternal abode of all of those who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, we read, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth..." I'm having a terrible time today. Let me start over again. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." This is it. That terrible judgment feared by the unsaved and Satan alike. What it is, who shall be judged, who it is, who shall be judged, and the sentence to be given, there will be pointed out in this lesson. God has placed the heart in the hearts of men immediate knowledge of some things which we call first truths. These are truths that we are born with as individuals, such as there is a God, heaven, hell, and judgment. No one ever had to teach you or I that there is a God. You were born with that knowledge given to you by God. Atheism has to be taught. No one ever had to teach you that there's a judgment to come. We call it conscience. We are, if you would, declared guilty by a guilty conscience. No one ever had to teach you that there's a judgment to come. This knowledge was acquired at birth. Yet as to God's identity, and for the particulars of the judgment, we have to go to Word of God for the answer. As we're concerned with the judgment of the great white throne, let us search the scriptures and consider this subject as the last resurrection, the last judgment, and the last appearance. The closing, just prior to the eternal state, where the new heavens and the present heavens and new earth are done away with. New heavens and new earth are created, brought into existence. The last resurrection, Revelation 20, verses 5 through 6, and also verse 12, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Verse 12, Revelation 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. How is this judgment designated? Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The resurrection of the wicked is entirely different from the resurrection of the saved. There is not to be a general resurrection, nor is there to be a general judgment. The Scriptures plainly teach that there are two resurrections. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Why it's so important. We trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, either before we die or before the resurrection or the rapture, because after that time, there's no hope. There's no second chances. Those folks who do not trust Christ will be forever and ever and ever separated God from Christ, from all those who know him as their personal Savior. Those who are raised from the dead at this time pose second resurrection, damnation, the last resurrection. When will it be? The 20th chapter of Revelation clearly reveals that the resurrection of the damned take place after the 1,000-year reign or the millennium. Where will it be? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and to him sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. The earth shall yield up the bodies of the damned to God. When it does, so it seems to rejoice in this deliverance, thus passes into oblivion. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter writes, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Heavens care not to entertain the resurrected dead. They too pass away. Therefore, God prepares another place. We do not know the exact location where he will set up his throne and judge the wicked, but we know it's going to happen, this last judgment. As there are different resurrections, one for the saved and one for the unsaved, so there are to be different judgments, one for the saved, one for the unsaved. One for the saved is the judgment seat of Christ, where we shall appear before him. We shall not be judged, but our works shall be judged at that judgment. This judgment is a judgment for those who have never trusted Christ as their Savior. Revelation 20, verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. God's appointment. Romans 2:6. God's going to be there. He's going to do the judgment. And Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Remember, these are unsaved. Saved do not stand to be judged at this judgment. They've already been judged. It's true that God has decreed that all men are to be judged. Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. No man, saint or sinner, you want to call him saved or unsaved, will ever be excused from being judged. We know the believer will never stand before the great white throne judgment. The reason, if you're unsaved this morning, you need to trust Christ before you leave here. We're assured of it. What we're assured of is because the Lord Jesus was judged in his place, paid the penalty for those sins on Calvary. I'm glad he didn't leave one out. Not one sin did he leave out. He paid for every one of my sins, your sins, the sins of the world, all who have ever lived or ever will live. He paid for those sins by his death on the cross. The believer is not a pardoned criminal. This is hard for me to comprehend because some of the teachers that I sat under growing up taught or spoke of being pardoned. Being pardoned. You see, in our country, we have a president who will pardon certain individuals who have been incarcerated because of their crimes. That means that they get to go free. But the believer is not a pardoned criminal, but one for whom the penalty has already been judged in Christ, completely removed. Will never, ever have to stand in judgment of our sin. Christ paid that payment. Since all his sins were placed to Christ's account, he has them no more. That's the believer has them no more. The believer is now declared to be a righteous man, not a pardoned criminal, a righteous man. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore no judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 24, we read, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. The believer, unbeliever's assize, that's his judgment. This is the unbeliever's assize, the unbeliever's judgment, if you would. Not one saint, not one saved, shall stand before this bar of God, but all the unrighteous, from Adam to the second battle of Gog and Magog, will stand there. Not only the unrighteous men, but also the wicked angels shall be judged there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? You and I. 2 Peter 2 and 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. What an awful, awful future the unsaved face. Jude verse 6, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day. There will come a time for there will be a last appearance. We're going to be looking at that. The last appearance of those who do not know Christ. as their personal Savior. As the unsaved stand before God at the great white throne, they will realize that this is the last time they will be allowed to appear in His presence. The last time. Never to see God again. Standing in fear of the judgment that awaits them, that is not a pleasant thought. They will remember the times of the Holy Spirit's wooing and the Savior's pleading. I can remember very vividly before I trusted Christ as my Savior, being what the pastor would say, being convicted of sin, knowing my need of trusting Christ as Savior, and just not doing it at that time. The unsaved will remember those times. Too late for them. In anguish, they'll remember the Spirit's wooing, the Savior's pleading. Can you imagine how they'll feel? Knowing they missed the opportunity to spend eternity with God Himself. Not be long until they will forever be separated from God. Degrees of punishment. You believe there'll be degrees of punishment in hell? I do. We'll see some of the reasons for those. But even with the least degree of punishment in hell, that will be an awful, awful situation to be in. Separated, punishment, pain, and anguish, fully aware, having remembrance of all of the times they refused to trust Christ. Revelation 20, verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. See, their works have been written in a book that God will open. Judge them according to their works. Saved works, saved persons' works, have been obliterated. No longer in that book. As there will be degrees of rewards for the saved, so there shall be degrees of punishment in hell for the unbelievers. All men who are not born again, whether they've heard the gospel or not, will stand before the great white throne and be judged. There will be degrees of punishment meted out. What are they? We're not told for sure. Think of the terrible plight of the unsaved who has heard the gospel time and time, time again, yet refused to trust Christ, Savior. Do you think that the poor heathen who hasn't heard the gospel once should be punished as severely as the man who's heard it time, time, time again? I believe that the most pathetic unsaved to be judged will be the unbelieving Jew, God's chosen people. It was the Jew to whom God gave the oracles, the covenants of promise. Yes, even the Savior, they certainly are without excuse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, who hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. Two witnesses are brought against the unsaved. Two books, the book of life, the book of works. The unsaved name, unsaved person's name, cannot be found in the book of life because he's never trusted Christ. He's never received that eternal life. Thus, he can only be judged according to his works. even his works will condemn him hell. The great white throne judgment is not for the, is not the place where the unsaved is to be found guilty or not guilty in order to determine whether or not he is going to hell. The sinner has already been convicted. John 16, verses 8 through 11. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The unsaved person is already condemned without hope. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No recourse for the unsaved at this point. They're lost forever and ever. He's living under the wrath of God, the unsaved is. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Great white throne judgment is the place, time of the unsaved sentencing. Last appearance. The convicted stand before the judge to receive the sentence that they shall serve in today's courts, criminal court. Could be the death penalty. It could be long years in prison. But the unsaved face much more despairing future. This time of the great white throne is the time of their sentencing. What's the decree of God for all unsaved? It's hell. It's the lake of fire. You can't sidestep it if you're unsaved. You can't miss it. You can't plead for mercy. You're forever condemned. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life cast into the lake of fire. Hell will be the abode of the unsaved or the damned forever, without any hope of future restitution. What a shame. What a shame. You're here this morning and you can't say for sure that heaven's your home. You know, God is willing to save you, give you eternal life, so that you can avoid this terrible time in the future. I want to ask you once again to bow your heads and close your eyes. This is so important. As we look at this great white throne judgment where the unsaved who's condemned already will be sentenced, and the result of that sentencing will be carried out at this time. You're here this morning in the best way you know how, heads bowed and eyes closed. Best way you know how, you want to trust Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand till I see it, and then you can put it down again. Anybody? Young or old, the pressing point. It's a time of decision. Maybe the last time that you'll have the opportunity. Anybody, before we close, best way you know how, trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven, would you just slip up your hand? Fine. Father, we come to you this morning. We've done our best, Father, to share the gospel clearly so that people who were unsaved be able to trust you and walk out of here knowing they have eternal life. Father, this very somber time, very somber lesson we had today, Father, it's one opportunity, another opportunity that you've given to every one of us. Father, if we do not know you as our Savior, an opportunity to trust you and what you've done for us to get us to heaven. We pray, Father, if there's unsaved here this morning, you'll give them no rest, no peace, no comfort, no sleep. Father, until they make that decision, trust you and what you've done for them to get them to heaven. Father, we just ask your blessings upon our church, those that are here, those who faithfully serve, those, Father, who come and benefit. Father, we just thank you so much for them. We ask all these things in Christ's name.